Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We've got a fun morning today. I have the opportunity to introduce you to a good friend of mine. In fact, the person I'm going to be introducing today was my first friend. We grew up together in the same church for about the first 8 years of our life. Joe Donaldson and I were little buddies at Beaverton Foursquare Church. And of course, I said he was my first friend and he's my last friend. I haven't been able to make any friends since then. He just ruined me. But when he was 8 years old, his dad had moved to Palm Springs, California to be a pastor down there. And so we hadn't seen each other for a few years, and then we went to college together. He and I were actually next-door neighbors. We promised on covenant not to share any stories today from the dorm life at Life Bible College. But his wife, Sarah, and Stacy and I got to hang out in college together some, and we've been and since then, they've been in ministry in Palm Springs, California for, 17 years, 18 years, something like that. And so, and we wanted to just have the opportunity to show them where we pastor here, and we invited them to come, and they've gotten to explore the area. And I asked him this morning to come and to share with us, and he's going to be jumping right into our Dare to Love series. And so I want to ask this morning if you would give my friend Joe Donaldson a big New Life welcome as he comes to speak today.
Thank you, partner.
Thanks.
Well, the reason why I'm not going to share any college stories is because he has way more dirt on me than I have on him. So I definitely will not do that. But it is a pleasure to be here. I finally get to see the sun, and I feel like I'm at home. I mean, the rain was, we don't see rain. But anyways, let me just tell you, I have three children, and my children are 14, 13, and 8. So it's real easy. They're Mary, Luke, Anna. We named them all with four letters. Never forget it. So anyways, but we are busy. My kids love sports. We do softball. We do baseball. But we're really busy right now until the season ends. But I tell you that because we are a sports family. When I grew up, I mean, we had sports on all the time. And from basketball to baseball to football to you name it, we just loved sports. And my kids have now adopted that. And the funny thing is I love basketball. Okay, I love basketball, and my kids hate basketball. And it's kind of frustrating. But anyways, so when I was growing up in Palm Springs, there was somebody I idolized because I was watching sports. And you probably heard him. He's very famous. His name is Irvin Johnson, also known as Magic Johnson. And Magic was my hero. I mean, in the 80s, when they won back-to-back championships, there's nobody I wanted to be than Magic. I mean, he could pass the ball. He could shoot the ball. He was everything. And matter of fact, I have in my office, I have a cardboard cutout of Magic signed by Magic. And it's that, just this what I wanted to be. And I remember as a kid being like Magic, you know, in the 90s, you have the short shorts. And when I was in high school, we played some basketball. We went to the semifinals, state semifinals. And I remember running in junior high and in high school. My house has the hall, you know, we have the hallway and you have door jams. And I remember running down my hall. I was like 15, 16, and hitting every door jam. And I'd run down and hit every door jam because that, to me, was like, oh, I am getting on the court and all the Lakers are hitting my hands as I go through. So, I mean, but now I want you to think about this. Who's your hero? Who did you want to be like? Now, before you were even, you know, born in your childhood, you know who you started to become and be, you were formed was your parents. I mean, think about the many hours you spent with your parents, and they just formed you, right? It's because we were in the presence of our parents, and over a certain amount of time, you know, there were situations that would arise, and they emotionally helped you go through situations, good and bad, but you were formed like that. I mean, what you were modeled from your parents, you did. And I mean, if you're a parent, you probably heard this. So-and-so is your mini-me, right? And they're exactly, that means they're exactly like you. But I think, you know, even that, it's just our human nature, right? Just to know and to imitate what we see and what we're modeled. I mean, you know, if your spouse, how often does your spouse say this to you? You're just like your dad, right? Or you're just like your mom. And the funny thing is, you know, grandparents, they chuckle, don't they? They chuckle at their kids when their grandkids are just like their kids, right? It's like you have got this for a long time, and now it's coming to you, right? Then my mom chuckles all the time. She chuckles all the time because my oldest daughter is a lot like me, and my youngest daughter has my perfectionist tendencies. So my mom, she chuckles, and what she does is she laughs every time she hears my daughter and her perfectionist ways. Because my 8-year-old daughter, before we get out of the house, she has to change her outfit not once, not twice, but 3 times. And the reason why she does, because when I was growing up, here's the thing for me. I couldn't leave the house unless my socks matched. And my socks were even. Bad. Okay, and then not only that, but I would write a paper, and when I wrote this paper, if it wasn't perfect and my handwriting wasn't perfect, I would crumple up the paper and throw it over. And so I had in my living room papers, and my mom would just get so frustrated. My brother would come in, he'd mess up my Nintendo, and I'd have issues with that, and I would just, it's just, I like things a certain way, and I like to keep things nice. So every time my mom hears my story of my daughter, she just chuckles. And so the other thing that my daughter does is with her hair. She has this ponytail, and she undoes her ponytail 2 to 3 times until it's completely tight. Right? And then she's just like me. She'll erase her word, and then it's perfect. She'll erase it and then do it again. But I mean, you think about that, it's our tendency to mimic our parents. And we have the good qualities and we have the bad qualities, and they teach us things. But it's human nature for us to imitate our parents. But when you go even further than that and you start to grow up, you know who you start to imitate? Other kids. Kids around you. I mean, I remember growing up, there was this boy, my best friend was not a good influence on me. Not a good influence. Here's why. I'll just tell the story. My mom doesn't even know the story, so you're like good here. But he would bring. Growing up in Palm Springs, we have citrus everywhere. So on people's property, there's grapefruits, there is lemons, there's oranges on people's property. And what he would do is after church on Sunday night, he would bring a bag of lemons. And he would bring a bag of lemons and convince me to go up to the second story of the church building and throw lemons at cars. Now, not a good thing. Now, thankfully, nobody got hurt. I mean, he was horrible. Like, he would do this all the time, and I'm sitting there just watching him, like, oh, this is your... Anyways, but the thing was, is, in all seriousness, though, nobody got hurt, which is great. The grace of God was on our lives, but seriously, when we as parents, we worry and we are fearful for our kids and who they're going to imitate and who their friends are. Because we understand as parents and grandparents, we understand this, that our kids, who they choose to be their friends, that has the most impact on them besides mom and dad. But I say all that because I want you to think of this in terms of this. If someone was to come to you today, what would they say about you? If they looked at your life today, what would they say about you? What would they say the good qualities and the negative qualities of you? And if you called yourself a Christian, if you used that label and said, I'm a follower of Christ, what would they see? What would they see? Because I think for some of us, I think they would see things that are different. And I think people who are outside the Christian faith, they sometimes look at Christians and they see something different than what we want them to see. And they look at us and say, well, and we maybe ask them, hey, we want you to become part of the faith. We want you to do this. And they go, but you're no different than me, so why do I want to be part of something that is no different than myself? And I think what happens as Christians is we kind of give this quality off in this different air about ourselves. And I think what happens is we drift. We drift from what we're supposed to be like. We drift from what we're supposed to, or who we're supposed to imitate. And see, I think what we do is we imitate something that is not representation of our Heavenly Father. And so people look at us and they go, well, if you're not different, then I don't want to be a part of that. But see, the thing is the question you got to ask yourself is this: can I continue to live like this? Or do I need to make adjustments? Do I need to make adjustments in my life? And today the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, would say, yes. Yes, you can make adjustments. And it's very quite easy. And he would say that if you're not living the life that God wants you to live, then you're giving off something that is just kind of an impression of not your Heavenly Father, that you're not imitating who he wants you to imitate. And so you come to Ephesians, and I'm going to read some from chapter 4 and 5, and I'm going to go through John. But Ephesians chapter 4, you come, and Paul, and just like us, Paul exactly like parents. And what he does is Paul begins to say this to the people and his recipients of the Ephesus church. And he would say this, that there is practical, I want you to learn some practical Christian conduct. I want to give you some conduct, and I want you to apply it to your lives. And so he says, this is what I want you to do. And he knows that what they were like before they came to the faith and before they put their trust in Jesus. And he says, you acted a certain way, you did a certain way, now I want you to be completely different. I want you to go from your old life to your new life. So you can't continue to walk the way you've been walking. And so as he goes on, he says, I want you to speak truth. I want you not to lie. I want you to edify others. And he gives them all this Christian conduct. And then at the very end of Ephesians, at the very end, the last verse in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read, he kind of sums it up here that what he wants them to get. And he wants them to get it the last chapter and then into 5. And here's what he says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now get rid of all that. So you were like this, Church of Ephesus. You were like this before Christ. I want you to remove all that anger, those outbursts, that rage that you have. I want you to get rid of your bitterness, you know, that clamor and problems and issues you have with other people. I want you to get rid of malice and the wickedness. I want you to get rid of all that because that's not who you are and that's not who you're supposed to imitate. But he says, here's what I want you to get. I want you to be kind and compassionate, in verse 32, to one another, forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. So I want you to be kind, compassionate, loving, and forgiving. And he says, God has all those attributes, and God, that's who God is. So if that's who God is, and you're supposed to be like your Heavenly Father, then I want you to do all of those things. I want you to be kind, compassionate, loving, and all that stuff. But then Paul would go on, and he would say this, and he'd tie it back up. And here's where he really wants them to gather this, and he says this. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Verse 1. Follow God's example. Now, excuse me. In other translations, it says imitate or copy. We want you to imitate God's example. We want you to follow and basically copy who he is and what he's like. And here's the interesting thing. He specifically talks to a targeted audience. Now, here's what he says. He says, I want you to follow Christ's example. I want you to mimic. I want you to imitate his example. But not just to everybody, but he is very specific to who he wants to do this. And he says what? As dearly loved children. Now, the reason why I brought this up is because a lot of times people just use the word children of God all the time. Well, I'm a child of God. He's a child of God. She's a child of God. And sometimes we don't understand fully what child or being a child of God is. Okay, but John the Apostle, in John chapter 1, verse 12, he makes it very clear what a child of God is supposed to be like. Because we kind of have this representation of what it's supposed to be, and sometimes we miss the mark. But John says, here's where I want you to understand what a child of God is. In verse 12 of chapter 1 of John, he says this, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God." So those born, right, those who have received Jesus, who have put their trust in Jesus, have received, and those who have believed become child or children of God. See, because what happens is we think just because God has created us that we're automatically children of God. And I hear it all the time. Oh, I'm just a child of God. That God provides for me because I'm a child of God, or I'm this. But that's not the case here. He says, yeah, you're a creation, but you want to move to being a child of God. And how you do that is by you put your faith in Jesus and put your trust in him. And when you believe, you receive his very nature. You receive what he has for you. And you move from that idea that you're just a created being to actually becoming a child of God. So going back to Ephesians, Paul says, now if you are a child of God, if you are one that is following Jesus, if you put your trust in Jesus, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow Christ's example. Now, some of us, when we think, okay, follow Christ's example, there's some pushback, and here's why. Because that can be really tough. It can be really hard to follow God. It can be really hard for myself to follow him at times. And for some of us, when we think of just God and trying to follow God, God is amazing. I mean, he's got all these characteristics and all these things that sometimes we can't relate to. I mean, he's all-powerful. He's just self-existent. I mean, he's always been there. He's not accountable to anybody. And sometimes we can't relate to that. We can't relate to that because we have an end. We have a beginning, and we have to be accountable to somebody. But I think all those set aside, for some of us, when it comes right down to understanding what God is like, we understand in terms of his love and his mercy and his grace and his faithfulness and his loyalness. But for some of us, we feel we can't imitate that because we feel like we're not good enough. Because, yeah, I can love, but I just can't love that person because, and you can fill in the blank. Or I would love to be more merciful to this person, but I just can't get past this. Or I would like to be faithful, but I'm struggling with that. And sometimes we feel like if we struggle with something, and we just continue to strive and strive and strive and struggle and struggle and struggle, that we'll never get to the point where God wants us to be. And that's just not true. And Paul would say that's just not true. And even though we make it difficult, and even though we find it to follow God's example to be a little difficult, here's the thing, it's real simple. It's simple. And Paul would say it's simple. And just as a father, as a son who wants to have good qualities and good traits of a father, and a daughter wants to have good qualities of a mother, Paul would say, I want you to imitate and copy your heavenly father. And here's how he would say he wants you to do it. Back in Ephesians verse 2, chapter 5, he says this. And I want you to walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Paul would say, I want you to walk in love. That out of all the characteristics that God has, everything that makes him up, God wants us to mimic his love. And Paul says, I want you to walk in that love. And to understand his love, you got to understand who he actually gave his love for. And what he did. And see, for Jesus, we know that when God didn't have to send Jesus. God didn't have to send Jesus, but he chose to send Jesus. Because at that day when Adam and Eve decided to do things on their own, and they decided, okay, well, I'm going to do things my way. And when they took that fruit and they broke that trust and that bond and the relationship was broken, God thought, you know what, I've got to do something to make this right. And since I love Adam and Eve and since I love my creation, I'm going to do something, I'm going to make it right, and I'm going to send Jesus. Not because I have to, because I love them and I love the rest of the world. And so he goes and he sends Jesus for you and I. And now here's the thing about God. There was no really kind of criteria for it. Now, I just got done coaching high school softball. I was coaching my daughter. And on the last night that we do, and the season ends, we come to a night of awards. And on the awards, I'm supposed to give away like an MVP, you know, most improved, and a coach's award, someone who I think has done their best. And I have criteria for an MVP. And my girls know going in that I'm not going to favor my child. That if you're on my team, you have to earn it. And so the night I decided to do the awards, I've been struggling with it for weeks and weeks and weeks, whom I'm giving the MVP award to. And finally what I did was I narrowed it down to 6 categories. And if you led in those 6 categories, then to me, you're the most valuable player. Well, here's what happened. 2 girls tied. One girl had 3 and the other girl had 3. So on the awards night, here's what I had to say. I had to tell people my criteria, and I had to tell them everything I did and how I got up to this point. Because what I don't want is I don't want people to think that I'm favoring anybody on the team. And that's what I explained to people. I said, look, this is what I did, and this is how I did it, and I don't favor. And one of the girls is like, yeah, he doesn't have any favorites. He's kind of a hardcore coach. And so I explained this to them. And one girl won it was a senior, and the next girl who won it was my daughter. And see, but that was my criteria. Did you know that God really didn't have criteria to come down, but all it was his love for the world? It wasn't like there was some specific category. There wasn't some way that we had to earn it or work for it or do anything. What God did was God said, I love, so I am going to give. I love so much that I need to make the relationship right, so I am going to send my son to die the most horrible death for the entire world. That's how much I love the people. That's how much I love the world. And so, when Paul says he wants to imitate God, he says it real simple. Right? We have to copy the behavior of our Heavenly Father. That means we need to love the way God loves. And I know for some of us, there might be pushback and it might be difficult for us to do that. Because it might be difficult for us to do that because, again, when we look at ourselves through the lens of ourselves, our flawed person, and what we can and cannot do, we think there's no way I can love like God has loved. There's no way. But it's really that simple. It really is simple. See, we make it difficult, but it's simple. And all we have to do is model the love that was shown to us. And the love that God has is he has a love that is forgiving. He has a love that is selfish. It's not selfish, excuse me. Selfless. It's giving of itself. And guess what? It's unconditional. Right? And when he was at the cross and he died on the cross, those things were present. That he was a forgiving, giving, unconditional love that you saw on the cross. And that's what he wants for us to mimic to other people. And see, the best context for us to love the way God loves happens in relationships. Now, I know you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. And there might be some pushback, oh. And here's why I think it. It's because people are people, aren't they? And people who are hurt, hurt people. And people aren't perfect and people make mistakes. And for some of us, it's hard to overlook mistakes. And it's hard for us to overlook hurt. Because when we're hurt, we tend to hurt others. And it's very, very difficult. So when you say, oh yeah, you got to love the way God loves, we have this pushback because in a relationship, if there's any hurt, if there's any mistakes or anything that happens that we can't overlook, it just arises and then there's problems in the relationship. And we have a hard time with that. But I think for some of us today, what we need to do is just say, I need to let go. I need to let go. That I need to understand that God's love is a forgiving love, and for me, and for maybe for you, that we just need to forgive. That in order us to love the way God loves, we need to take that weight that we're holding and just let it go. Because some of you might be in here, and you understand that God loves you so much, and you understand that God wants you to imitate and love the way he loves, but it's very hard for you. And the reason why it might be hard for you is because there's some pain in your life. See, there was probably some wound that went deep in your life. And see, it's hard for us to forgive because of the extent of our pain. You might be here and you might be not talking to a family member for years because of the pain. And it just didn't happen yesterday. It's happened over years. And you might not be talking to them because you can't get past what they've done. Or maybe you've had someone who you work with who has totally just done something to scar you, to hurt you. Maybe they've done something in that relationship, and what has taken place is you don't even want to talk to them. You give them the cold shoulder. You isolate them. And it might be kind of awkward, and you avoid them, and you don't say anything to them, and your coworkers are really, really uncomfortable because of the choice you made. But see, forgiveness and loving the way God wants us to love is choosing to forgive. It's choosing to forgive. And see, if you don't choose to forgive, what happens is that you're only hurting yourself. Because that person on the other end, maybe they have tried to make it right, or maybe they have not tried to make it right. Who knows? Or maybe they don't even know that they've offended you. And see, the only person you're hurting is yourself, because you're sitting there going, okay, oh my gosh, you're just toiling over it and toiling over it and toiling over it. And what happens is the more you toil and the more you concern yourself with it, the more you enslave yourself and the more you hold a grudge and the more you get bitter. And you get bitter and bitter and bitter. And instead of walking in freedom, you're enslaved to your emotions. And again, if you want to walk and imitate the love of God, maybe for you today is just say, okay, today I just got to forgive that person. Because you're carrying a weight around so heavy. And the only way to walk in freedom and the only way to imitate your Heavenly Father and the only way to love that God wants you to love is to drop it and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to love the way you want to love and I'm going to love that person no matter what. And they don't owe me anything and I'm not going to be revengeful, but I'm just going to love them the way you loved me. Or maybe it's not somebody. Maybe for you, it's you got to forgive yourself. Because what's holding you back from loving the way God is you haven't forgiven yourself. See, we have a tendency to hold our past over our own heads, don't we? That somehow that God can't use me, that God can't love me because of what I've done. God is more concerned about where you're going than where you've come from. See, your past doesn't dictate your future. It doesn't. If you would allow God to forgive you for all the things that maybe you're holding over yourself. And maybe for you today, that step is this, that if I'm going to imitate love and I'm going to walk in love, then I need to forgive myself. And I need to not only realize it, but I need to embrace the love of the Father that has for me. I need to embrace that. See, so God's love is forgiving, but it's also giving. I mean, God completely gave of himself on the cross. And I think, well, for us, when it comes to loving the way God wants us to love and imitating him, we have to give of ourselves. And some of us, that's very difficult. Because if I give of myself, then fear sets in. And the reason why fear sets in, because if I give too much of myself, then I might get hurt. So I'll just stand back here and just not give 100% of myself to anybody. And some of you have been in that place where you've come and what's happened is you've had a relationship and you gave of yourself and you gave, and all of a sudden there was a rocky bump in the relationship. And then all of a sudden you're hurt and it's like, no more. I'm not trusting anybody. I'm not doing this again. And then there's some of us, when we give, we're kind of disappointed. Because in any relationship, isn't it true that you have the give and you have the take? In any relationship, there's giving and there's taking. They go hand in hand. But what happens in a relationship and what takes place is it will dissolve really, really quickly if you're only doing one or the other. And people who are giving and the other person is just taking, they feel like they're being taken advantage of. And so you give, and all of a sudden it just feels like they're only given half in the relationship. And relationships don't work like that. And that's not how love works, because that's not how God did. God didn't hold anything back. Now, I like Amazon. I love Amazon. So the other day, I forgot to bring these up. The other day, I saw on Amazon this lightning deal. I'm not a lightning deal. I really try to make purchases, and I think through purchases. And so I saw this lightning deal, and I wanted some AirPods. But I'm not going to spend that much money for AirPods, so I'm just going to go for the knockoffs. Okay, so I saw this lightning deal on Amazon. It's like $20 for these knockoff AirPods. I'm like, great. So I order them. They're $20. They come in the mail on my Prime. Okay, and I open it up. And here's what I get. I go, oh, great. AirPod. And a charger. I got one AirPod. What are you going to do with one AirPod? And so my 14-year-old goes, well, Dad, I'll take it. I'm like, okay. What are you going to do with one AirPod? I mean, seriously, think about this. I mean, there's nothing I can do with it. I'm thinking, right? That I am getting 100% of what I ordered. Well, I got one. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to know with this. God doesn't give himself in pieces. And God's love doesn't come in pieces. So when Jesus went to the cross, he gave it all. He didn't give just part of himself. He gave all of himself. And he didn't give just his love partway or halfway. He gave it all. But see, what we do is we tend to love in pieces, don't we? Because we don't want to get hurt. Because if we get hurt, then we don't trust. And if we don't trust, then we're never going to have a relationship again. And we need relationships. And we need people. And if we give... Sometimes we want something back, don't we? Guess what? God didn't give to get something back. He gave freely. No strings attached. And I think if we're going to love the way Jesus loved and we're going to love the way and imitate our Heavenly Father, we've got to love people with no strings attached. Because how many times do we say to our kids, you know what, I love you, but next time, can you not do that? And that little word in between those two sentences is a condition. I'll love you if you act a certain way. That is not your Heavenly Father. There's no but in the middle. It's just, I love you no matter what. And I showed you how much I loved you. And I didn't give part of me, I gave all of me. And in turn, what I want you to do, and what your Heavenly Father would say, I want you to love people like that. And here's why it's important. Here's why this is important. Because when people look at your lives, you might be the only visible expression of God's love. You might be the only expression that somebody sees of God's love. They can't see God, but maybe they can experience it through you. And see, but the problem is we've given off this thing, and we've given off this kind of this, I don't know, this stigma of just different to people, that we don't love the way God loves. Now, I just want to tell you, though, it's so important that we get this right, that people see Jesus through us. I just went to a funeral last month, actually. And it was a kid I had in middle school group. He was 33. And he was one of my brother's friends. And he died of cancer. And I sat in the funeral, and I wasn't emotional. It was a celebration of life. And I knew him as an eighth grader, and I looked at his life, and I went, God, you better get a hold of him, because he's drifting. And I didn't see him for 20-plus years. And when I came to the funeral, people got up, and people started saying things about him. And his brothers got up, and they're like, yeah, you know, he was like this, and I'm going, that's the guy I knew. And that's the kid I was worried about. And then his dad comes up, and his dad goes, well, my son was amazing, and he was transformed. And he said, Jesus transformed his life. And he got up there, and he said, you wouldn't believe it. He was so selfless and more concerned about other people than himself. He would go up, and even at his deathbed, he would offer the doctors a gift certificate. He would offer nurses gift certificates. And actually, he gave them Starbucks gift cards while he's on his bed dying of cancer. And when people would come to visit him, he'd say, how are you doing? They'd go, I'm not here for me. It's more like, how are you doing? And it's so funny because the staff, the nurses, they would run in a half hour early to be his nurse. They would fight over taking care of him because they saw something amazing in him. And his wife got up there. Oh, my. And his wife got up there and she goes, well, my husband really showed me what Jesus was like. And she said, I never knew Jesus really until I met him. And she said, my life was transformed. I met the real Jesus because of how he loved me. Man, it was emotional. But the way he lived his life was the way God wants us to live our lives. And see, when people look at your lives, I'm hoping they're seeing the love of Jesus. I want that for myself. I want when someone's up here talking about my funeral that they talk about Jesus. And they talk about the love that he's shown me and how what I've shown to people. And I hope that when you get to that place, it's the same for you. Because if you narrow it down to anything, here's what it comes down to. Children of God imitate God. And children of God imitate God and they imitate his love that they have for him. And they model it to other people. See, we don't get it right always. We don't get this right at all. We strive, and we try, we feel like we fail. But in order to get this right, God's got to have to help us. See, the more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them. And I'm going to end with this story. I was coaching baseball, and I got kind of suckered into it because they didn't have a coach when my son was 7. And I was trying to do things my own way, and I was struggling. And finally, my dad gave me a name of this guy named Dave. And Dave is a great guy. Dave's like, who knows? He says he's 100 years old. He's not. But I mean, he just is a great guy, and he's a mentor to me. And Dave came in, and he says, I'll help you with baseball. and he would show me everything he knew about baseball. He gave me all his practice plans, and he would, you know, just sit me down, and he'd send me stuff and text me and all this stuff. And he actually won a championship with a girls' softball team in L.A., right by UCLA. And so I always wanted his knowledge, and I always wanted it. And there's times during the week, during baseball season and softball season, that I would say, hey, I'd put aside a meeting for an hour with Dave. And all the other staff members like, oh, gosh, here it goes again. Because we'd spend more than an hour in there, and I started gleaning from him and just gleaning all his knowledge. And the more I spent time with Dave, the more I coached like Dave. The more I saw things the way Dave saw. The more I began to see things and flaws and how to fix them in kids and how to win. See, the more I was with Dave, the more I became like Dave. And if you want to love the way your Heavenly Father wants you to love, the more you're with Jesus, the more you're like Jesus. The more time you spend with Him daily, the more time you will be like Him. The more time you're in the Word, more time you're praying, the more time you're doing things, the more time you allow Him to transform your life, the more you will be like Him. And the more you'll be able to love like Him. So this week, all I want you to do is I want you to imitate God and love people the way God loved Him. Because you know why? Because children of God imitate God. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You. Oh my. I thank You, Lord, for the example we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Lord, that each and every one of us has the ability to love the way You want us to love. That, God, You're calling us, since You've transformed our lives, that You're calling us to transform others' lives by Your love. That, God, today, would You just help us to walk in love? Help us, God, for those people who are sometimes feel like they're unlovable. May Your Holy Spirit just speak to us and begin to forgive people. And to, Lord, to give of ourselves to people. God, let us be known by our love. We thank You, Lord, that You give us that capacity. And we thank You that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can we give Joe a hand? Thank you for that word.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.